95.7 Ben FM Philadelphia presents Her Story, hosted by Kathy Romano. Her Story is a weekly tribute to women making a major difference in the lives of others by telling her story.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Good morning and welcome to Her Story. I'm your host, Kathy Romano. Today's guest is a sociologist who works as a sexuality and mindfulness speaker and a relationship, intimacy, and sex coach. Dr. Jen Gonzalez helps clients work on having a healthy sexual relationship and positive body image. She's given two TEDx talks and is the author of a new book, From Madness to Mindfulness, Reinventing Sex for Women. Dr. Jen, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Kathy.
So you have a PhD. What is your degree in?
PhD's in sociology with a specialty in sex and sexuality and relationships.
What was your undergrad?
Undergrad. So I went to Lehigh University. So I live in San Diego now, but I went to Lehigh. And at the time in the early 90s, they had something called social relations. It was a combination of sociology, social psychology, and anthropology. So it was all like the coolest courses, I think, in college. And I got to take all of them under one grouping. So it was basically sociology, but it was a grouping of those different courses.
I took one class in college, and I remember people telling me, you have to take this class, it's so easy. It was like the easy A class, but it was some sort of sexual relationship, sexuality type class. However, back up, not easy at all, and I ended up dropping out of it.
No.
Yes, it was so difficult. And a couple of the people, because we all signed up, I had roommates that signed up, we all ended up dropping the class. It was more of like anatomy, but it was more about that.
Or science or biology or something like that versus like fun sex stuff.
Right, and I think it was. I think it was like checking off the science credit. It was not fun, and it was kind of difficult, and we were like, who told us to take this? We're out of here.
I always think if a class is about sex, you can always make sex interesting. So if it's not like interesting and fun, although it could be hard, but
well, you know what? I think that the instructor or the professor at the time was boring. So
yeah, yep, that makes a big difference.
It was so much like writing notes that we were copying things and writing things and they were not making it fun.
Yeah. I remember my human sexuality class at Lehigh, though. I have a professor, he drove in from Philly like once a week for our class, once or twice a week. And it was obviously that class had an impact on me. And at Lehigh, I also became a sexual health peer educator. And so that's how I got into the field where you go around and do condom demonstrations and talk about safer sex in the dorms. That's how I got my start 26 years ago in this field.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So do you actually have an office and see clients? Now.
Yeah. So I actually do have a private practice in San Diego where I see individuals and couples. I've been pulling away from that for the past few years. And so I keep a really small client load now because my real passion is traveling around in public speaking, going to colleges, talking about sexual consent and communication, talking about women's empowerment, talking about erotic play and mindful sex and topics like that. And then plus, obviously, writing with my new book and doing videos. And I have a podcast, Sex Talk with Clinton, the doc. So all of the media stuff and the public speaking and traveling is my real passion. But I do have a small private practice. Yeah. Which is endlessly fascinating.
So I would imagine that the colleges or your college speaking engagements are pretty popular.
Yes. It's interesting, though. It really depends on how you pitch something because students have a lot going on like everybody else. So if they think this is going to be like a boring sex talk, like the sex education they've gotten before, they might not come. But I was at Miami University of Ohio last week, and there was a class that had to be there. It was an evening talk, and they were 18-year-olds, so they were freshmen. They had just come in. The one student came up afterwards. A whole group of them came up. They were so cute because I had free lube, and they were excited to get those. And one of them came up to me. She's like, well, I had to be here for my class, but I am so glad I was here. Like, you talk about in such a raw, real way that we never heard these topics talked about. If they're there, they're happy. But it is, I think it's a lot of the marketing and thing. And people are always afraid of public sex conversations, like that it could be embarrassing.
Right. Sure. Of course.
So, yeah.
What's the most common issue you discuss or you work on with your clients?
It depends on like their age and all, but one of the main things I do, so couples in long-term relationships who have mismatched desire levels. And so often in the beginning of a relationship, everybody's hot and heavy. And it seems like everybody has a high sex drive. But once life kicks in and hormone shifts and kids and work and all of that, often almost every relationship will have somebody who wants sex more and somebody who wants sex less. It's almost impossible to be perfectly even in that. So that's what I help couples navigate that, because we have very little skills in knowing what to do with that when anything goes wrong in our sex life or intimacy or communication. Like, we don't know what to do. And we feel bad and we don't know how to be vulnerable and we feel guilty and we feel rejected and a whole lot of icky things. And then it just gets brushed under the rug until it becomes a big problem. So I help folks navigate that, pull back the layers of that. So, and then like when I get a number of younger women, mid-20s, mid to late 20s, who are, they come to me kind of for female sexual empowerment. They're into spirituality and they like my mindfulness approach. They want to know how to find their voice. They want to know how to say no in a sexual encounter, and they want to know how to say yes. They want to know how to figure out what's pleasurable to them. They want to work on body image concerns. So it's a lot. I mean, I think we think younger generations of women are more empowered than the generations before them, but frankly, no, not in terms of knowing what they want and feeling confident and comfortable asking for that and doing it in a responsible way. I say we're going backwards, actually, in some of those skills with our younger generations.
Okay, so a couple of questions. Let's go back to the couple where you said that the desire is kind of misbalanced. Can you come back from that?
Yes, it's harder the longer you wait, you know, because if I have couples that come in and I'm like, okay, I'm like, you needed to be in 10 years ago talking about these topics, because when it goes on for too long, you just build other resentments and you start to grow apart often, and folks are hurt. And like I said, and guilty. Often if one person needs sex as their way of connecting and feeling loved and nurtured, they've felt neglected for years and years. So if folks catch it earlier enough, because we talk about these topics more in mainstream, it's part of our public dialogue and narrative, folks are, I think, more getting used to coming into coaching, counseling, therapy. If they come in soon enough, absolutely. Because then I talk to them, how do we reinvent your sex life? You know, a version of it based on when hormones and horniness is all there. What do you do when you have a real life together? And then you're trying to make time for sex that just feels like a chore. Or you have to check the box, or your body's not asking for it anymore.
Do you often see one of the partners straying from the relationship because of that?
They can, for sure. I mean, it's interesting because I think the research shows often people stray, they stray and they have sex, but they're looking for validation. They're looking for fulfillment. They're looking for a vitality that they've lost. They're looking for feeling acknowledged and appreciated. So it's, you know, it happens. Infidelity happens through sex and the physical act of sex often, but it's all of the emotional pieces that are often what folks are looking for. So, you know, I always tell folks, even if your partner really, really enjoys sex and really misses sex in your relationship, and it's really meaningful to them and hurtful to them, you need to be in ongoing conversation around it. I tell folks, have a conversation once a week for 20 minutes. You are going to talk something about your sex life and intimacy. Talk about sex dreams you had. Talk about an article you read. Something so that you are always normalizing these conversations and that you are always in them. It's never getting brushed under the rug.
But how does that help then in...
So a couple ways. One, for the person who wants sex and misses it, one thing they're seeing, oh, my partner does care about this. This isn't just getting brushed under the rug. And if that's one of the ways that you feel loved, if your partner seems like they don't even care about it and won't even address the topic, it's doubly painful. So at least to be talking about it, first of all, you're like, oh, okay, we're working on this. It can help give them some faith in their relationship and their partner again, and belief, oh, my partner does love me and care about me because we're starting to work on this. And then, frankly, if it's something you're going to be talking about every week, you know, and it can't be brushed under the rug, you start getting creative. You start thinking outside the box, be like, okay, maybe this Friday night we can have a date for each other. We can get a babysitter. We could spend some time together. I recommend folks do something called happy naked fun time.
Okay. What is that?
Where it's happy and you get naked and you have fun. You schedule time. I say like 45 minutes, you set a timer, technology and everything out of the bedroom, so you're not interrupted. It is just I know folks balk at scheduling sex time, but it's really, it's scheduling intimacy time, big picture intimacy of closeness and connection with your partner with no technology interruptions or anything like that. And you get to cuddle. You can have clothes on if you want or underwear on, but you want to be mostly naked or naked. It doesn't have to be sex on command. It is about getting your bodies close to each other again, getting that oxytocin and feeling close to each other, prioritizing and actually scheduling time. Like, no, us spending time together does matter amidst all of our other priorities. And then have conversations and talk and have adult conversations and cuddle and, you know, feed each other food if you want. Have a glass of wine. And again, if you do this every week, you're normalizing. You're normalizing sex conversations. You're normalizing your bodies being close together and taking downtime together and giving yourself the space to get out of your heads and in your bodies, and that you are prioritizing your big picture intimacy life. Honestly, if you keep doing that, eventually, like, your body's going to start responding to your partner. You're going to feel safe with them. You're going to know, like, okay, we're going to do this every week. Like, let's make the best of this. But it takes that commitment. It takes that commitment of scheduling that time and sticking to it.
So there's nothing wrong with scheduling time for it.
No, you schedule time for an important meeting, for a meeting with your kids, teacher, for a doctor's appointment. We schedule the things that are important in our lives. And if it's not happening on its own, then schedule it because then that means it's important enough. But what happens within that time does not have to be predetermined. It does not, it's not prescribed ahead of time. Let it be organic, but do let it be about quality time and physically connecting at least with your bodies.
That's a great
do
idea.
Massage, but you have to make the time, even if it seems like it's hard to make the time.
I like that. It's a really good suggestion. Talk a little bit about mindfulness.
Yeah. So mindfulness at its core is, as a definition, is present moment awareness without judgment. So it's the idea of, like, noticing what's happening inside of you and what's happening outside of you in any moment. And then noticing when you're distracted and choosing to bring your focus back to what you're observing and not judging what you're observing. So the way I teach it, like, in my book and in my work, is applied mindfulness, that so much of what gets in the way of us being able to have sexual conversations or express ourselves sexually or get in touch with our pleasure and enjoy it or really surrender in a moment and connect with a partner, we have a lot of blocks to that. We have fear, we have anxiety, we have shame, we have embarrassment, we have hurt feelings, we have disappointment, fear of rejection. All of that feels bad and has stories attached to it. So I help folks get in touch with what are the stories, their thoughts, their interpretations in these moments, what emotions are they feeling, and literally where does it live inside them? Because shame and embarrassment and hurt and disappointment, viscerally, we feel all of that inside of our bodies. It feels so bad, we shut it down immediately. And then we, you know, lash out at a partner, like, why did you bring this topic up? Or we retreat inward emotionally and shut down. We may distract ourselves by pulling out our phones and scrolling Instagram. We may want to numb ourselves through pot or alcohol. All of that because in the present moment, something is really uncomfortable. And around sex and the vulnerability of emotional intimacy, there is so much discomfort, physical discomfort, and also belief systems that we could get hurt. And so I teach folks literally, how do you move towards that discomfort? You know, we're taught to improve our sex lives, we should move towards pleasure and excitement. And I say we need to move towards the discomfort, as unsexy as that sounds, the discomfort of all the negative messages, this madness, this sexual madness that we've inherited from society. We need to be able to stay present with that, sit with the discomfort of it, notice it. And then from that place, then we can actually be like, oh, what do I want to say here that would be helpful? How can I be more responsible in this situation? How can I own my shame or embarrassment and still stay present with my partner and have the conversation we need to have?
Why does it have to be embarrassing, though?
Sex?
Yeah.
Well, I just say that because so much of us, particularly as women, we grow up that sex is embarrassing. Voicing our needs is embarrassing. We have shame that we shouldn't do it. It's not what it means to be a quote unquote good girl.
So, no, it's true.
Right. But why? Oh, yeah. Because we're so backwards in sex education and society. It's so funny because if you compare us to, like, Sweden and the Netherlands, they take sex as matter of fact. This is so fact. Like, Dutch teenagers growing up, it's not unusual for the first time they have sex, they actually do it under their parents' roof and their parents know about it. And before they have sex for the first time, their doctors talk to them about it. Their teachers talk to them about it. Their parents talk to them about it, boys and girls. And they talk to them about how to have safer sex and how to do it in a loving relationship, not getting drunk and having a one-night stand.
Right.
And so they talk about the emotional component and the physical component. And they talk to girls about having pleasure, which we never get in our sex education in the United States.
That's never talked about.
So, and that's normalized. And so, and then their kids there have much lower rates of unwanted pregnancies, much lower rates of STIs. They're like much more likely, majority of those kids say their first sexual encounter is positive. That's not the case in the United States. Majority of kids, and particularly majority of women, do not say their first sexual encounter, they would say, was a very positive experience. Mm. So we make it embarrassing because we don't talk about it, and we shame body-related things in American society.
So what would be your suggestion to parents who have kids who are maybe around that age where they need to start having the sex conversation with them?
Well, one thing is it should be an ongoing conversation. You know, you want to start in age-appropriate ways. We say absolutely start, most educators say start by age 8. In age-appropriate ways, that your body's changing, what that means, differences between boys and girls' bodies, even, you know, particularly LGBT topics today and just tolerance towards others. But just knowing the changes your body is going to go through and normalizing it.
That word was in my head, normalizing it.
Absolutely.
If you just make it normal, then...
then they don't have shame.
Yeah, there's not this embarrassment.
Right, exactly. So teaching that, and then as the kids are getting older, because what you want... research shows the majority of teens want to be able to go to their parents and be able to talk about these topics. And most parents want to be able to pass on their values around these topics. But you need to make yourself a safe space, a reliable space. It's okay to say, I don't know. There's so many good books out there. Like, you know, good Amazon, there's good age-appropriate books, sex education books. And then sit down and read it with your kid. And then if your child's like, what about this? And you're like, I don't know. I'll look that up for you, or I'm not sure. It's often good to ask kids then, you know, have you heard about this in school? What have you heard about this so far? The kids talking about these topics? Like, that's the way, before they're uncomfortable with these topics, especially at age 8, they're usually not yet. And then you just build this comfort. You normalize that this is what we talk about. You're a safe space. You can own, too. I tell parents to sit down and do journaling. If they are nervous that they're going to say the wrong thing or they're embarrassed around these topics, write it down, journal. It's a mindful activity where they sit with all of their discomfort.
Sure.
They breathe into it. Parents avoid these conversations because they're afraid of feeling uncomfortable. So sit and journal on all of that discomfort and like write it all out of what your belief systems are, what you learned or didn't learn, and then go to your kids. And if your kids are awkward, say, you know what, I'm awkward too. Like, I get it. Our society isn't so good about these topics, but I love you so much and really care about you and want to look out for you. And I want you to be able to make the best decisions for you. So I'm going to have this awkward conversation for both of us. And then you keep unfolding it in age-appropriate ways.
I have a friend who had a discussion or started the discussion with her son. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's too young. Like, why are you doing that? He wasn't, according to you. He was 10. So he's right around that age. But she said, you can ask me whatever you want. There'd be three options. I'm either going to answer it for you, which she did age appropriately.
Yeah.
She said, I'll tell you, I will let you know when you're older, or none of your business. So those were the three ways that she answered his question. She said it's working so far. And as he gets older, he comes with more questions and she'll go on and she'll answer them. But there's a
awesome
certain set where she's like, it's none of your business and I'm not going to tell you.
Are they like personal questions?
I think about mommy and daddy.
Right.
Some
no,
of them.
And that's totally fair.
Yeah. So what's a general tip you can give the listeners who want to improve their sex life?
I mean, one, figure out what's not working, and then actually envision, because often we know what's not working in our lives. But when I ask folks, well, so what's your ideal sex life look like? They're like, oh, I have no idea. Like, I never thought of that. So actually picture that. I mean, it's easier to work towards what you want when you can actually envision what you want and you have a sense of what it feels like. So that's one of the things, you know, figuring out what's not working, but get detailed. And I encourage folks, look at sex. And I think most women innately know this. Sex is very holistic. It's not just the physical or just the emotional. It's the mental and it's the social and it's the spiritual, whatever that means to each of us individually or as a couple. Look at it in a holistic way of what's not working and what would it feel like? What type of connection are you looking for? What would that feel like for you? Where do you have shame or embarrassment holding you back? What conversations are you avoiding out of fear? Getting clear on all of those things. And I'm a big, you know, every chapter in my book ends with worksheets that you can actually write in to the book. And so because you know, this needs to be in practice. It's one thing to read about mindfulness and sitting with the discomfort, but you need to sit with the discomfort. And as uncomfortable as it is so, so worth it in the long run in life.
The name of the book is From Madness to Mindfulness, Reinventing Sex for Women. Where can people get the book?
They can. Amazon is the easiest place online. Some Barnes & Noble's carrying it. Some independent bookstores are carrying it. Local folks in Philly, if you're in Phoenixville, Reads & Company is an independent bookstore, a fantastic one in Phoenixville, and they're carrying my book. So online or local bookstores.
And your social media is?
Everything's Dr. Jen's Den. So that's my website, drjennsden.com. And then Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn,
all of that.
YouTube. I have tons of YouTube videos. Okay. Yeah. All Dr. Jen's Den.
How was it giving the TED talk?
Good. I mean, they were TEDx talks, so they were local ones. So one was in San Diego, and actually one was in Phoenixville, the Colonial Theater.
Oh, cool.
Like 5 years ago, I came back and did that. I mean, they were fantastic. I mean, that's such a fun audience, neat speakers to be on stage with and whatever, because these were local speakers in each venue. Yeah. I mean, both times I talked about sex. Actually, my first TEDx one was about mindfulness in female sexuality and applying it. And because it was so well received, this was at the end of 2012, it's what spawned my book. In 2013, I started writing my book. I was like, oh, I think I'm onto something here. Like, the audience really reacted to this. People responded really well on YouTube with the video posted. I, of course, thought it would, you know, I'd be done by it by the end of the summer, the end of the year. I'll totally kick this book out. And here I am 6.5 years later, finally getting it published and out. But yeah.
Well, that's great. I'm so excited that I got to meet you.
Likewise.
And talk with you. I hope this is helping some of our listeners. If you'd like to read more about Dr. Jen, some of her advice, or her book, you can go to Dr. Jen's website. It's drjensden.com. And then on social media, like you said, Jen with two N's, JennsDen.com.
Yay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming by.
Oh, my pleasure, Kathy.
This is Her Story with Kathy Romano on 95.7 Ben FM.
The Borgata is kicking off Restaurant Week on November 3rd. Savor Borgata, an exclusive tasting event, is taking place at the Borgata Friday, November 8th and Saturday, November 9th, with a number of events leading up to it. Today's guest is the Vice President of Food and Beverage at the Borgata Hotel Casino. She's here to give us all of the details. Becky Schultz, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
So how rare is it to have a female in the culinary position that you're in?
I guess it's pretty rare. There's only one other female vice president in MGM. And it's been a lot of fun. I enjoy what I do, and I enjoy the people I work with.
I worked one job in the restaurant industry, and I was so terrible but they liked me. The owner liked me. So he said, we're going to put you in the coat room. And I was like, okay, great, perfect. And so I worked at a restaurant in the coat room, and I never left. I never left the coat room. They just had me in there, and I would take people's coats. They pulled me out. They're like, yeah, I don't think serving is for you,
sweetheart. It is not for everybody. This is very true.
So tell me about Restaurant Week at the Borgata.
Well, Restaurant Week actually kicks off our entire week leading up to Savor Borgata. We have prefix menus at special price points that are very accessible. All of our fine dining restaurants participate for dinner, as well as Noodles of the World and Metropolitan participate for lunch.
So tell me about, I haven't been to the Borgata in years. I hate to say that because it's one of my favorite places to go to. It's so much fun. But for whatever reason, I haven't been to the Borgata in years. So tell me a little bit about some of the restaurants that are there. Any new ones?
We still have a great fine dining lineup. Wolfgang Puck American Grill. We have Bobby Flay Steak, Angeline by Michael Simon, Izakaya by Michael Schulson, and our anchor flagship is Old Homestead with restaurant partners Greg and Mark Sherry.
And that one's been there for years. That was always one of my favorites.
That's our original fine dining restaurant, Old Homestead.
What's the newest restaurant at the Borgata?
Actually, Angeline by Michael Simon is our newest restaurant, and Angeline actually is named after his mother. So the food that's there is Italian-inspired, a little bit of Greek-inspired. He really is cooking the food that he grew up with.
And who's he?
Michael Simon.
And he is from the Chew?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's an Iron Chef as well on Iron Chef America. His cuisine really is inspired by what he grew up with and how he remembers cooking with his mother.
Where is Angeline located in the casino?
Angeline actually is located right next to Bobby Flay Steak, which is a little bit ironic because Bobby Flay and Michael Simon are very, very good friends. So there's often a little bit of a rivalry going on.
Oh, okay.
And anytime that they're all at the property together, everyone really gets along really well. And it's just a lot of fun. It's a really, we work really hard, Savor Borgata weekend, but it's just really nice to see all of the chefs come together and really just enjoy each other's company. They crack jokes, all sorts of stuff. It's a really, really fun weekend.
And are all of these celebrity chefs going to be at Savor Borgata?
Yes, all of our celebrity chefs will be there, including Iron Chef Jeffrey Zakarian, who is our chef consultant for the Water Club.
What exactly is Savor Borgata?
Savor Borgata is just an opportunity for all of our chefs to get together and show their creative juices. There's so many hidden talents that we have in our entire culinary lineup. Not only are all of our celebrity chef partners participating, but our own executive chef Tom Biglin and executive pastry chef Thaddeus Dubois are featured as well. Our own chef of Borgata, Tom Biglin, will do over 16 stations of food himself. Thaddeus will have an elaborate pastry display. There's a lot of fun surprises. Savor Borgata itself is really a very casual walk-around format. Different stations available, anything from a small bite-sized sandwich to taco to ceviche to Wagyu to fantastic pastries. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. Some of the stations are a surprise, but one of the tastings that I did last week, I'll give a little shout-out to our executive chef, Tom, is a savory donut station that there's going to be four donut sandwiches that are absolutely out of this world. I swore I was only going to go in and it's supposed to be a tasting. I ate them all. And then I was like,
Is that part
oh.
of your job responsibility?
Well, you know, to taste through, sure. But I pretty much devoured all of them. And and they were, each one was better than the last. And each one of them comes with a wet nap because there's kind of sticky goodness. But, you know, we're all licking our fingers and it was just amazing. So I'm really looking forward to that and seeing customers' reactions. That'll be a fun station.
How big is the event?
The event's actually about 1,200 people. We have a VIP hour from 7 to 8 o'clock. And then general admission is from 8 to 10. So with a VIP ticket, you do get an hour early access and a better opportunity to, you know, meet our celebrity chef partners. They all work the stations. So it's just a great opportunity for our customers to be up close and personal with our chef partners. We have so many Iron Chefs under one roof. And actually, we've invited another Iron Chef, Alex Guarnaschelli, will be joining us as well as a guest chef. And really looking forward to her dynamic and what she's going to bring to Savor Borgata this year.
And I would imagine you can get a cocktail there as well.
We do have beer and wine garden, and we do have several different beers that are going to be featured as well as different wineries. So definitely a little bit of something for everybody.
When is the event?
The event is Saturday, November the 9th from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m.
And how can people get tickets? If they want to attend, how do they get tickets?
You can either call through to our home number, 609-317-1000, or you can go right online and purchase tickets right online.
And it's Savor Borgata.
Savor Borgata.
What else is new at the Borgata? I know that you're food and beverage, but anything at the casino or spa or hotel?
Actually, we just opened several new projects. We opened Moneyline Bar and Book, our new sports book. We opened Level One Lounge, which is our high-end sports viewing cocktail lounge. And we opened the Lobby Bar just several weeks ago. We just opened the Lobby Bar. That's right next to our front desk on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We do have live piano music, and it's not the sleepy kind of piano music. It's that sing-along. Everybody's arm in arm. And,
right.
You know, it's not just a piano player. It's an actual performance and very engaging, and it's a lot of fun. A lot of laughing, and it's just, it's still a great place. You can still have a conversation, great cocktails. The fizzy cocktails there, some of my favorites. Each venue has something a little bit different to offer everybody. But in the last few months, they're the new projects that we've opened.
All right, you sold me. I haven't been there in years. I have to come back to the Borgata.
Well, if you go to Moneyline, you have got to have the chicken fried bacon. It is out of this world. And people usually look at chicken fried. What? Chicken fried bacon with a Chipotle Ranch dipping sauce. Once you have it, you will be addicted.
Okay. Becky, thanks for coming by today.
Thank you for having me.
If you'd like more information about Savor Borgata, you can go to the Borgata's website or you can call the number that Becky just gave. If you missed any part of today's show, you can always podcast the episode on the website 957benfm.com. It will be available tomorrow morning. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm Kathy Romano. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.